So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Would you remain standing with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight grateful for the opportunity that we have to gather freely and listen to your word being preached. We are so, so thankful for the many blessings you have given to us. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to give honor and glory to your name. Be with me now as I speak. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What do you think of when you hear the word shepherd? Oftentimes we think of the children's Bible rendition. A cute little man carrying a crook staff or a harp. He's smiling and the sheep all around him are smiling too in their own cartoonish way. I have an example with me. What does this illustration show? What does it convey to those who see it? To me, it seems as if things are all hunky-dory and that the purpose of the shepherd is to make sure the sheep don't wander off, that they have access to good green grass, and that they make it home on time that night. While some of this is true, I think that so often we just leave this image alone in our minds, as is. I think that because this is often the case, we fail to truly understand who Christ is as the great shepherd. You can take it down now. No need for distractions. So what does the great shepherd do? What is his relationship to the sheep? Are the sheep important? What do the sheep even do? In our passage tonight, we see who Christ is as the great shepherd, what he does, and how his sheep respond to him. And this brings me to my first point. The shepherd knows his sheep, and he loves and protects them to the point of sacrificing himself for them. So what is a shepherd? What is Jesus communicating to the Jews that we do not readily understand today? Think about what we know from Scripture, specifically shepherds we know by name. Who's the first person to come to mind? David, right? Who better to compare to the great shepherd than the man who God set up as a type and foreshadowing of Christ? We know that David, the son of Jesse, was God's anointed for his people. As a king and ruler, he was a type of the promised Messiah to come. But David's kingship is not the only way in which we see him as a type of the promised Messiah. The first mention that we see of him in the Old Testament is as the shepherd of his father's sheep. And it's important to note that he watched over his father's sheep, just as Christ watches over his father's sheep. Now, I'm going to go against who we so often think David to be, what we've seen up on the screen. We often think of him as a small young boy, not who we think of when we think of a soldier or a king. While he is the youngest of Jesse's boys, I would argue that David does not necessarily fit the stereotype. It was not uncommon for shepherds to have to defend their sheep and themselves, whether from wild animals or from thieves. We see this, at least in part, in verse 10 of our passage. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. One of the feats that David is known for is killing a lion and killing a bear with his bare hands. It's no small feat. How many of you can say you did that? I didn't think so. We also know that David to be one of the most fearsome fighters in history. Just take a look at 1 Samuel 18, chapter, verse 7. Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. He's a brave and courageous man. Not the young boy that we think of. David was most likely more than the stereotypical small boy we think of. Most shepherds had to be fit, well-built, and strong due to what they had to deal with. The sheep for sure couldn't take care of themselves. Anyone who's dealt with them knows they're pretty dim-witted. They have a need for a shepherd, one who will protect, care for, and lead them. The shepherd fights for his sheep. He doesn't run at the first sign of danger, like the hired hand in verses 12 and 13. He values each and every one of them. As we see in Jesus' story of the shepherd in Matthew 18, who had 100 sheep, and he found that only 99 of them were safe. This shepherd then left the 99 to go find the one, rejoicing when he finally finds it and brings it home. If you look at verse 11, here Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Verse 15 says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And verse 17 says, "I lay down my life." He loves his sheep to the point of dying for them, even death on a cross. I want you to think about the shepherd in this way. It's not uncommon for moms to take their kids to a playground, to hang out with other kids. The mom will keep an eye on her child the whole time. She watches to make sure her child is playing safe, that he doesn't wander off, and also keeps an eye out for people who may cause her child harm, whether it be a kidnapper or simply another child who tends to bully. If need be, she will step up and protect her child. Any parent who's taken their child out like this can relate. This is much like what the shepherd does in caring for his sheep. Thankfully, as Christians, we can rest in the fact that we are his sheep, and that he cares for us as our great shepherd. Because we are his sheep, we know and can trust in his voice. And this brings me to my second point. The sheep know their shepherd and come to him when he calls them. Look at verse 3. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Here we see the grace of God. He has called his flock to himself. Not only does he call his flock, but he calls each and every sheep by name. Not only does he know each and every sheep by name, but he knows what it is that they each need and how to care for them. He leads them where they need to go, and they follow him because they know his voice. The sheep do not follow anyone but their shepherd. Anyone who is not the shepherd that comes to try to lead the sheep will not succeed because the sheep do not know their voice. Verse 8 says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. The Lord's sheep only respond to his voice, and they reject all others." Verses 14 and 15 say, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." So not only do the sheep know the voice of the great shepherd, but they have an intimate relationship with him, just as he does with his Father. God has given Christians the wisdom to know the Lord and to respond to his call. He has given them the ability to know what is the true gospel and what is not. He has given them the gift of being his people. He has also given them security through Christ's shepherding. For he is the door, and no one comes in but through him, and those who come in through him are saved. In verses 7 and 9, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." I want us to look back at the mom and her child at the playground. When it's time to go, the mom calls out to her child. This is not simply an indiscernible yell, though there are those who do have a specific whistle. My mom did. In fact, growing up in Uganda, my family had an African gray parrot. His name was Pepper. He actually learned what my mom's whistle was. And it wasn't uncommon at all for him to make the whistle. And me and my siblings come running and show up asking my mom, "What do you want? What do you want?" He's like, "Oh, nothing. But since you're here, can you do this for me?" Again, the call that the mom gives is not something random or indiscernible. Rather, she calls her child by name. Her child hears her voice and knows that it belongs to the mother. She recognizes it. The child responds by obediently, hopefully, coming to the mom, and they leave the playground, with the mother leading the child home. Also, children who will not respond to those who are not their parents. So it is with those who are not the shepherd who come to steal the sheep. They do not follow any who they do not know. So it is with Christ and his sheep. He calls each Christian by name, and they know that it is his voice calling them. We respond by going to his side and following him. At his side, we are safe and secure. And this brings me to my final point. The sheep who do not belong to the shepherd do not know him and are scattered and killed by wolves. The sheep who are not tended by the great shepherd are not safe or secure. Verse 12, while speaking about the hired hands, tells of what happens to the sheep who are not under the care and supervision of the great shepherd. When the wolf comes, the sheep are snatched up by it and are scattered. They have no real protection. They do not hear his voice. They are not called by name. They are not of the shepherd's flock. Turn with me, if you will, to John 6, verse 60. Here Jesus has been talking about himself as the bread of life. Many of his disciples are confused by this, and some are upset by what he has said. Starting in verse 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." What Jesus is saying here is that the only way people can believe and be saved is if God wills it. Verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all." And in verse 65, Jesus says that no one can come to him unless it is granted him by the Father. Now, this is not simply saying that the Father in the moment gives the okay for people to come to Christ. Verse 64's parenthetical statement shows this. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. Christ foreknew these people and that they would not believe him and would betray him. This also means, though, that he foreknew those who would believe him. This means that he chose or predestined them to be of his flock. Unlike those who are not of his flock, Christians are safe and secure under Christ's care. Paul says later in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, that he is sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus, in John 10, back to our passage, though later on, in verses 29 and 30, also says that his Father who has given his sheep to him is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. He and the Father are one. And with all this said, I have two things to say. The first is to believers. We need to rejoice in the fact that we have been chosen by God, that he has called us by name, individually, to be a sheep of his flock. There's such comfort in that. And to those who do not have a personal relationship with Christ, I plead with you to repent of your sin and turn to Christ, who calls those whom the Father has charged him to lay down his life for. Maybe that you're of the other sheep Jesus refers to in verse 16. Christ lived the perfect life, died and was raised to life again for his sheep. You just need to repent and hear him call you by name so that you can come to his side and join his flock. If you have questions about this, I would love to talk to you, as would any of our elders. Don't hesitate to talk to someone about Christ. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we are so, so thankful that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us, your sheep. Thank you for calling us, caring for us, protecting us, and for leading us in the way which we need to go. Lord, I ask that we would be with us tonight as we go our separate ways, that you would indeed protect us as we go home, as we travel, that you would bring us back together again, whether it be tomorrow, next week, even in eternity. We ask, Lord, that you come quickly in your precious and holy name. Amen.